Today on More to Life, you're making me crazy. We'll help you deal with those people who are getting under your skin. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life. The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising. Relevant. Hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to marry.
Practical. Theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, you're making me crazy. Well, not you personally. We love you. We love you guys hanging out with and calling in and all that. But we know other people that you probably know too who drive us all crazy. Could be that parent, that member of your extended family, maybe a coworker or frenemy. Could be especially painful if that hard-to-get-along person is particularly close to you. For example, one of your kids or even your spouse. But we are here to help whoever that person is, because the good news is even those prickly people can be worked with, can get to a place where you can insulate yourself from the drama, and you know what? Maybe even move on to have a close friendship. It's possible. But it takes new skills, and we're here to help give you those skills. Give us a call. We'll help you sort it out at 877-573-7825. Who are those people that are getting under your skin? Let us help you deal with them gracefully. 877-573-7825.
Sorry, I think that. This is just such an important thing to reflect on and really go into, because we have one of two reactions when we have a prickly, disagreeable, hard-to-deal-with person in our lives. We either throw our hands up and opt out completely, and opt out as far as it can possibly take us. So if we can't entirely opt out with that kid that we're raising or have raised, or that parent that's driving us crazy, we opt out as far as we possibly can, to the point where anything they say or do is white noise, that we see them as little as possible, that we do the bare minimum, and that's it, because they get on our nerves so badly. Or we get provoked, and everything is a resurrection of a conflict, a dredging up of old wounds, and every time we're with that person in some way or another, it heats everything up.
You make an excellent point. I want to let you and everybody else in on a secret, though.
Mm-hmm.
Those two responses you just described actually have nothing to do with the other person.
That's right.
They have to do with us allowing our emotional temperature to get out of control. And those two responses you described are what happens when our limbic system, our emotional brain, instead of our thinking brain, takes over and we feel threatened. So at that point, we either, like you said, shut down, or we get provoked and start to fight. The reason I bring that up is because that's a process that only we can control. And we have a tendency to give that power over to the other person. We act like this annoying, prickly person has the remote control that just causes us to shut down.
No, and it definitely feels that way, yeah.
It just causes us to lash out. And the reality is, you can be around obnoxious, irritating, even prickly people, even toxic people, for that matter, and still respond effectively. And in fact, the more you can get control of that reaction, the more you can control the situation itself. And that's the key to working with these prickly, toxic, difficult to get along with people.
And I think there are a lot of our listeners who will say, well, I know that, Pop Checks. That's obvious. So the next time I have to deal with my mother-in-law, my kid, my spouse, my boss, that person in church, I'm just not going to do those things. I'm not going to shut down, and I'm not going to freak out. And I will handle it with grace. That sounds great. Until you're with that person again, and you really have no more ways and plans to really deal with them, as Greg was saying, effectively. Let's give you that today so that you can change up this relationship, you can get closer to each other, you can heal some wounds, you can live in Christ more, and really bring Him into that relationship and His healing into that relationship. And that takes more than just saying, Lord, just please be in this relationship. Amen. Goodbye. It takes more than that. Let's talk about how to do that with your particular person that's driving you crazy today or this lifetime at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Look at that. We're not even 7 minutes into the show, and two amazing insights already. One, crazy people don't have to make you crazy, because you're in control of your reaction. And by getting by focusing on your reaction instead of their crazy, you can respond gracefully. Number two, if wishes were fishes, we'd all cast nets. Right? The idea that just saying, oh, well, I'm going to do different next time, it'll be better next time, I mean, that's your heart's in the right place, but that's not enough to actually be successful the next time that person's around. You need a plan, and you need resources, and you need to know exactly what to do and what to say. And that's where we come in. Let's kick it around together at 877-573-7825. If you have certain people in your life who are just hard to get along with, they're triggers for you, whether that's a parent, a member of your extended family, coworker, a frenemy, dum-dum-dum, or somebody particularly close to you, like one of your kids or a spouse, sometimes they can be the hardest to get along with. Let's talk it out. You know, looking at this whole idea of dealing with difficult people from the perspective of the theology of the body, we're reminded that each individual is a unique and unrepeatable person. That sounds great, of course, until you actually have to start dealing with people who are different than you, and then that gets a little bit tricky. One thing the theology of the body asks us to remember that in dealing with everybody, that people are good at their core, because they are created by God to be good, even when they don't always act good.
Right, His image and likeness, but that doesn't mean they always reflect Him.
But it's important to remember that, because that is the source of the second point from the theology of the body, that even the obnoxious, prickly, frustrating people deserve to be treated with love. Now, that doesn't always mean, by the way, putting up with their stuff. It doesn't always mean just being a punching bag. In fact, often it doesn't mean that. Sometimes it means setting limits. Because loving somebody means working for their good, and sometimes setting a boundary is the best and most loving thing you can do. But knowing when to do that and knowing how to do that in ways that don't just add insult to injury, but actually open the door to potential healing and deeper understanding is the most important thing we can do. And we can only make those decisions consciously if we do, as we were saying in the first few minutes of the show, learn to get control of our own reactions to these people, to not see difficult to get along with people as somehow triggers to our shutdown response or our lash-out response, but rather as people who deserve to be loved, who are sometimes hard to love, but who give us an opportunity to practice being loving in difficult circumstances. If we can see them in that light, then we can see opportunities that God is giving us to grow and to use even those challenging relationships to become more of the people that He wants us to be, not just by putting up with that person or suffering their presence, but by actually learning to grow together, sometimes in spite of each other, hopefully more often because of each other. But if there is somebody in your life that is hard for you to get along well with, that just triggers you either to shut down or lash out or something else, we are here to help you deal with those people more gracefully. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. By the way, If you're looking for additional tips for dealing with those difficult people in your life, a lot of what we're A lot of what we're going to be sharing with you throughout the program is taken from my book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. Published by Crossroads. It's available at CatholicCounselors.com. Check it out. God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. With that, let's take our concerns to the Lord and ask for His grace in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we thank You for all the people that You have placed in our lives, people who You have made in Your image and likeness. But Lord, although that sounds great in theory, in practice, it's sometimes hard to see Your face in the people around us, especially those obnoxious, frustrating, and difficult to get along with people. We feel like that somehow they've just been put on this earth to make our lives more difficult, and we either shut down in their presence or lash out and make things worse. We give all those difficult relationships to You right now, and we ask You, Lord, to teach us to respond in grace to those difficult people so that we can see those as opportunities to grow in genuine virtue for ourselves, but also as opportunities to seek true healing. So that in all that we do and all that we say, we can work to build communities of love that Your servant Pope John Paul reminded us is our destiny and our privilege as Christians to do. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on Mortal Life, You're Making Me Crazy. We're helping you deal with all those difficult people getting under your skin. If you've got somebody who's in your life and is kind of hard to get along with, whether that's somebody close to you, like one of your kids or your spouse, or a little further away, a parent, coworker, friend/frenemy, we're here for you. Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Teresa, who's listening to EWTN Radio in New Mexico on Sirius 130.
Hey, Teresa, welcome to Mortal Life. How can we help you out?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I don't really need some help so much as I want to give hope to others.
Okay.
Our oldest daughter got divorced in March, but moved in with us after 11 years in October.
Okay.
Shortly after she moved in with us, our youngest daughter moved out. They had some difficulties, but more than anything, our oldest daughter, because she had to move in with us, was bitter because she was going through a divorce, was angry and hurt, and would lash out quite often at me. And in the first few months, I would lash back. And my husband, who's always been extremely patient and wonderful, would remind me, you know, she's going through a hard time. You got to have a little bit of patience with her. And it took probably 3 months before I heard the message, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to confession. And my confessor told me, look at Corinthians, I think it's chapter 13, I'm drawing a blank right now, the verse of love is patient, love is kind,
yeah.
Love
yes.
does
mm-hmm.
not boast.
Yep, 1
yes.
Corinthians 13. Mm-hmm.
1 Corinthians 13, thank you, I was thinking it was 2 Corinthians. So anyway, that has helped me tremendously and helped my relationship with my daughter immensely. So when she lashes out or comes to me in tears saying she's overwhelmed with the kids and having to work and having to help around the house, which she doesn't do much at all. My husband and I do most of it. The only thing she's really responsible for is her room, the kids' room,
sure.
and their laundry.
But when it all gets too much for her, she lashes out then.
Right, and she lashes out. And I used to lash back. Well, you don't do anything around here. I don't know what you're so overwhelmed about.
Sure.
You know? And in the last couple of months, I would say, it's gotten easier because I've turned more to God to help.
So let me ask you this.
But
okay, so you're not reacting to her as much. Have you found ways to help her not lash out at you as much?
I have tried. I have.
How,
you know,
and what have you done there?
Verses. Just so well, I've offered verses in the Bible. I've offered to help her more with the kids.
Okay. Well, look, here's what I want to give you a suggestion, because you're on the right track, okay? The first step to working with that prickly person is getting control of your own reactions, and you've really worked hard to do that. And you know, when you stopped seeing your daughter as the trigger, you know, that caused this lashing out reaction in you, and you saw that you had some choices about your response, that gave you your power back. And it enabled you to feel more peaceful even in those times when she's not being peaceful. And you've done a really good job of practicing that spiritual work of mercy known as bearing wrongs patiently. And I think that's terrific. I want to encourage you, though, in realizing that bearing wrongs patiently and admonishing the sinner are not two opposite things. You can do both at the same time. So, for instance, okay, by the way, admonishing the sinner is another spiritual work of mercy, right? But how do you do that in a way that's not nasty, that's actually helpful? What you do, okay, is you realize that, as you've come to recognize, that your daughter's lashing out is a result of her being overwhelmed and being in pain, okay? And I would like you, when she lashes out at you, since you've gotten such good control over your reactions, to look at her in that time. It's going to be a little bit hard, but trust me on this, okay? I want you, when she's just snapping at you, and to say, "Hey, honey, I love you so much, and I know you're so overwhelmed right now. Could you just take a breath and ask me for what you need instead of lashing out at me right now? I know it's hard," and she might actually lash out at you with that. I don't know what I need. Okay, and you might just let that go, take another breath, and say, "Listen, I know. Let's take a minute together," and then you just launch into this, Lord. Please bless my daughter and help her to know how much you love her and how much I love her, and help her to see that the people around her are here for her to help her through this time. Give her a clear sense of what she needs and the confidence to know that we're here to help her get those needs met. Amen. Now, that I timed it when I said it. That was a 15-second prayer. It is a prayer that is going to change everything. I don't want you to ask her permission to do it. I don't want you to say, "Honey, let's pray together." I don't want you to preach at her. I just want you to start by saying, "Hey, honey, I love you so much, and I know that you're so overwhelmed. What can I do to help take down your temperature?" And then she's going to lash out at you. Then you respond to that by saying, "Okay, I get it. You're really, really frustrated right now, and you don't know what you need. Let's pray about it." And then launch into that prayer.
Because, or you don't even have to say the "let's pray about it."
Right.
Just say, "Lord God, I love my daughter so much. Please let just give us peace right now and help us," and all those words that Greg said. But you don't want that pause. And I'm saying this, and Greg is saying this to every single listener out there who needs to be praying with somebody. Don't pause. Don't be wishy-washy about it, because the minute it looks like you're asking permission, that person who's in a reactive place, even though they desperately need the Holy Spirit in that moment, is going to put up a wall, is going to lash out more or say no or say, "Don't you dare preach at me," or whatever that reactive thing is. You need to just launch right in to asking for God's grace and presence in that moment.
So the point is twofold here. First of all, you need God's grace, both of you do, in that moment. But secondly, you need to give her a different way to express that frustration. Because you're seeing that frustration as an expression of her pain, but she's not. She's just seeing it as, "I'm angry." Okay? You want to give her a chance to step back and realize that she's angry because she's overwhelmed, and she's overwhelmed because she's not asking for help in an appropriate way. So by redirecting her and saying, "Honey, just let's take a break. Let's take a breath. Tell me what you need. Let's walk through this. What can I do to help?" By responding in that caretaking way to her anger, it's going to help her realize that there's a better way to seek that help than just by tantruming and hoping that somebody will notice that she's in pain. That she can actually come to you directly and say, "Mom, I'm just done. And I really need X. Could you help me with that?" That's going to be a big shift from the way she's currently seeking help by being crazy and hoping someone will notice. Okay? So, Teresa, I don't want you to just put up with it. I want you to get control of the reaction as you have, but then intervene in this way that gives your daughter a better way to seek help by inviting it directly and praying with her about it. And we talk more about those kinds of strategies in "God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People." Check it out at CatholicCounselors.com. We got to go to break. When we come back, more with your calls about those people who are making you crazy. If you are dealing with somebody who's getting under your skin, we can help you manage them gracefully, just like we did with Teresa. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue after the break.
Abortion.
Pornography.
Embryonic stem cell research.
Corporate contributions to Planned Parenthood. Do you invest in companies that are engaged in these practices? The Ave Maria Mutual Funds don't, and their investment portfolios reflect that. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can consider investing in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com. The advisor invests in securities only if they meet the fund's investment and religious requirements, and as such, the return may be lower or higher than if the advisor made decisions based solely on investment considerations. The fund's method of security selection may or may not be successful, and the fund may underperform or outperform the stock market as a whole. All mutual funds are subject to market risk, including possible loss of principal. For prospectus, which includes objectives, risks, fees, charges, expenses, and other information that should be read and considered carefully before investing, call 1-866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com. Distributed by Ultimus Fund Distributors, LLC.
This Easter, from 20th Century Fox and Franklin Entertainment comes Breakthrough, starring Chrissy Metz, based on a true story. When Joy Smith's son John falls through an icy Missouri lake, all hope seems lost. But a mother's belief in the power of prayer inspires her community to trust God to do the impossible.
My God.
Breakthrough. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. In theaters Wednesday, April 17th. Tickets and showtimes available at BreakthroughMovie.com.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life.
Welcome back. We're so glad to be with you today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. And today we're talking with you about those people who make you crazy. If you've got somebody who gets under your skin, whether that's someone like a parent or a member of your extended family, a coworker, or even a friend slash frenemy, or someone a little closer, like one of your kids or your spouse, we're here to help you deal with all those prickly people gracefully. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Linda, who's listening to EWTN Radio in South Dakota on Spirit Catholic Radio's live stream.
Hey, Linda, what's going on today?
Hey, can you hear me very well? I mean, I have you on
speaker. We can. We're good.
Okay,
we're good. We can hear you. What can we do for you today?
God bless you. Well, I think I might be a prickly person.
Uh-oh.
And
well, thank you for having the courage to call in anyway. Good for you. What can we do for you then?
Well, somehow I feel justified, though, but I can come across as prickly.
We all do. Yep.
Okay.
Well, let's be honest. There are a lot of people who do get on all of our nerves, but it's just what we do with it as Christians that matters. So what's going on? What's triggering you? What's making you feel like you're the prickly person? Who do you want to not be that way with?
Certainly. Okay. Well, first of all, I'll give you a small background. I used to train horses, and I was really good at it. So, but humans aren't horses. So, you know, like you catch the cat peeing on the carpet, you deal with it while the cat's peeing on the carpet. That way they learn from the situation rather than let it go. That's my philosophy. But maybe with people, I need to learn how to let things go. So I'm in the healthcare field now. I'm an ICU travel nurse, and I'm a new person, and I don't know, I'm new to the family, what so to speak, and I don't even have a perfect example, but I just want to share that sometimes maybe it's the sound of my voice, I don't know, or maybe it's the situation and they don't understand it completely. But
I mean, there must be a situation that you have in your mind. Can you maybe describe it, where you might get provoked?
Well, I come here to work for the patient, and all right, here we go. ICU nurses can talk about anything, so All right, so this patient is withdrawing from alcohol. And he, the patient, let's say, has alcohol encephalopathy. So they really don't know what they're doing. They're not even alert and oriented at this point to be able to follow directions.
I got you.
I got
all right.
Patients like that. Okay, I have two patients like that, and they're in restraints, and so I'm
I've got 2 minutes before they kick me out of here to go, make me go to break. So, so where's the problem, with the patient or with the family,
or the other nurses?
The nurses.
Okay.
Yes. So I ask someone to please attend to my patient while I'm in another room, and of course they find a mess. And if they would have responded to the alarms initially instead of sat there and just ignored me, maybe my patient would have been attended to earlier, sooner. So. Long story short, I catch people rolling their eyes back when I ask for assistance, or more than once. And I try to hold it in, but all it does is build up. And then finally I just say at the end, I'm tired of this eye-rolling stuff. I mean, they're adults. So how can I not say that? What do I do? How do I deal with this? You know, basically catching the eye-rolling, the... We're professionals. We're here to take care of.
I got you. So we got to go to break, but when we come back, I'll give you some thoughts on how you can manage those prickly people that you work with at the hospital, and especially when dealing with your patients there. So we'll talk more with Linda when we come back from break. We'll also be taking your calls about dealing with those prickly people who make your life more difficult. Give us a holler at 877-573-7825, and we'll give you some graceful strategies for being able to insulate yourself from the drama, but also move toward greater healing. Stick around for more and more to life coming up after the break.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com. This Ave Maria program is brought to you in part by the nonprofit CMF Curo.
Do you want an affordable healthcare option that enables you to protect your family and live your Catholic faith? CMF Curo is the Catholic healthcare ministry that works to bring health to the whole person, spirit, mind, and body. CMF Curo allows you to share health costs with other Christians and is more affordable than health insurance. Go to mycatholichealthcare.com. That's mycatholichealthcare.com. CMF Curo, healthcare fully alive.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling, 35 years of experience, pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plans, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right. Well, my wife used Seton, some of our children. And I will tell you this, two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT, 27% higher on English and reading. It is a rigorous program. At least now, 1.3 million students are homeschooled. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to SetonHome.org. SetonHome.org.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popchak. Many people say that after baby comes, marital intimacy is over. But that is absolutely not true. You just need to be creative. Greg and I love going out on dates to parks, performances, and restaurants. So after we had our children, we still went out on dates. But we brought the baby along. We sat by an exit, asked for a to-go box with the meal as soon as it came, and brought quiet activities for the baby. We went to a few favorite places repeatedly. And most of all, we went into the date expecting an adventure. While you may occasionally have to leave a restaurant or an event with a fussy baby, chances are the date will work out just fine, and you can maintain the intimacy with your spouse without sacrificing bonding time with your new baby. Your social life isn't over when a new baby comes. In fact, it's just beginning to get interesting. For more Catholic parenting tips, visit us at moretoliferadio.com.
Welcome back, folks. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today's show is titled, You're Making Me Crazy, as we talk about those people who get under your skin. How can we respond gracefully to those frustrating, prickly people? Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. Before the break, we were talking with Linda in South Dakota, listening on Spirit Catholic Radio. She was sharing that she's got some problems with her coworkers at the hospital where she works at. You know, when she has to step away from a patient and the other nurses don't respond as quickly as she might need them to, or more importantly, the patient needs them
exactly.
to.
Exactly.
And then she says something about it, and they roll their eyes at her, and they get frustrated with her. You know, how do you not get upset at that, is basically what she's asking. I mean, Linda, I think that you're right to be frustrated by that situation, because, of course, patient care is being jeopardized by their lack of response and then their attitude toward you.
And you know, Linda was quite clear that these are critical patients. These are people in ICU and other such situations, so you have every right to start feeling an elevation of emotion because you're concerned for your patient.
The problem, I think, is trying to address it on a more personal way. I think you have to address this as part of either the treatment team meeting that you have, or the meeting that you have at the start of the shift. Whenever you know, nurses come on shift, they will meet to talk about patients and patient care and that sort of thing. And that's the time to really address those kinds of things. Or if you have meetings with your nurse manager, to be able to bring that stuff up then and say, look, here's the situation that's going on. Okay, when I need to step away for a minute and the patient needs somebody else to come in and deal with something, or if I ask for help with something, more often than not, I get an attitude. I get an eye roll. I get a whatever. How can, and make it about you, how can I ask for help in a way, since I'm new here, how can I ask for help in a way that actually gets me the help that I'm looking for, or in the patients the care that they need, instead of the attitude that I'm currently getting? What can I do to be more effective here? All right. If you can bring that up, even with the people who are doing this to you, but in the staff meeting,
in a professional setting, not in the middle of a crisis, not in the middle of everybody being exhausted and emotionally overwrought, but in a professional setting that's set apart for conversations like this,
you have more of a chance for success there. As long as it's just on a personal level on the fly, what you're going to get, I think, because I've worked in hospital situations before, is everybody kind of gets off on being overwhelmed. Oh, I'm so busy. I'm so overworked. And I'm going to show you how busy and overworked I am by constantly being irritated about everything that everybody asks me. And as long as you just deal with it on the fly with that person, you're going to get that reaction, because that's their way of saying, look how important I am, look because of how busy I am. Okay? But if you address it when they're out of that, and everybody's trying to be on their best professional behavior, more or less, in a staff treatment meeting, then you're able to say, look, here is the concern that I've got. This is what I've been trying to do to address it. It's not working. What can I do better to get the response I'm looking for so the patient can get the care that he or she needs? If you make it about you and your performance and how you can change to get the situation better, it'll go down easier than, look, I'm sick and tired of all these people giving me attitude. Okay? That's really the only thing that you can do in a situation like that, and I think it has the best chance for success. You don't want to let that go because there's too much riding on it, patient care. You also don't want to lash out, because that doesn't solve anything. It just gets you labeled as a troublemaker. But if you're able to be professional about it and bring it up in a professional context, then whatever can be done will be done. And hopefully the culture in the healthcare facility that you work in is professional enough that if you address it in that professional way, it'll be dealt with. Thanks so much for the call, Linda. God bless you and the work that you do. 877-573-7825. Let's talk it out. Who are those people who are driving you crazy and getting under your skin? Whether it's somebody that is on the periphery of your life, or somebody that you have to bump into every second of every day.
or you're in charge of. You're in charge of making their lives a better place. Your kids, your spouse, your adult parents, whoever they are.
You don't want it because they don't deserve it.
And they are just taking advantage, and they are making you crazy, and you just don't know how to be your best self. You don't know how to be somebody who, at the end of the day, you can go to God and say, "Hey, Lord, I did this well," and you're tired of it. We're here to help you through that. Let's talk right now with Claire, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Alberta, Canada, on EWTN's app.
Hey, Claire, welcome to More to Life. What's going on today?
Hi. Oh, it's a pleasure to talk to you both.
Hi. Ben, to you. Well, so, what can we do for you today?
Thanks. So I have five sons, from 13 to 6. Now, my 13-year-old, the oldest, he's getting very irritable and so irritated by his younger brothers. He's developed the bad habit of, like, pinching and smacking and pushing. He just gets very irritated all the time. He's unable to control his irritation. Mm-hmm. Now, there is, in particular, a 9-year-old who can be, honestly, irritating. But, like, the oldest, we'll be in the truck, and the kids in the row in the back will be singing or laughing or doing something goofy. And so my oldest in the front will say, "Guys, knock it off." Or, you know, they'll be in the kitchen, and somebody, he's like, "Why'd you get in my way?" And, you know, like, just, he's very full of himself. He's very self-important. But at the end of the day, he is a good kid, and I can see he's, like, examining his conscience and very disappointed with himself. And I just keep telling him, "You need to practice self-control, but I need something more concrete than that."
Yep. Oh, yes, much more than practice self-control, especially when he's already lost all control. So when you know, okay, because you've painted this picture very well, you're a very observant mom, Claire, that's very obvious. So you're all in the van, and you know the other ones in the back are being obnoxious, and you know it's going to irritate him. What do you do before these words come out of his mouth? Where are you in all of this? Are you intervening at all? Are you setting a standard for behavior? Or is it just that you clue in once he's lost it and is saying, "Knock it off," to everybody? Where are you in this parenting, you know, problem here?
Well, generally in our family, we have a rule of no noises when we're all together. Like at the table, no ticking, tacking, knocking, like just no noises, because they irritate, right?
Okay.
But if they're in the in the back,
are they allowed to have conversation? It's just not.
Yeah, they're allowed
it's
to
just not arbitrary
just
not noise, like the, but they can.
Just not like the general noise that can, you know, if they all start doing it or all start banging on the table,
okay.
Like it's irritating, right? So, if they're all in
of
the
course.
Back and laughing and having a good time, they should have the freedom to do that. So I'll say to the oldest, like, knock it off.
Sure.
Okay. Part of what they're doing.
Gotcha.
What I want you to do in those situations, though, is ask him what is it that he's looking for in those things. Because it's you're right. I mean, self-control is a big part of it, all right? But the other piece of this is, you know, he's trying to meet some need, but he doesn't necessarily know what that need is, and he doesn't know how to meet it.
And by asking, excuse me, you might find out that it's very surprising what the need is. He could be really, really irritated by sound, in which case you need to take certain precautions for him, like allowing him to have earplugs or allowing him to wear a headset. Or it could be something completely different, whereas he knows the family rules and he's trying to help you parent, to be closer to you. You won't know unless you ask and then pause long enough to let him really think and evaluate it and share some of that with you.
But I would ask you to not just do it in the moment. I'd actually like you, when you get off the call, I know he's at school, but when he comes home from school today, just take maybe 5-10 minutes and say, "Hey, listen, I was thinking about this today. And I know that you know, you've been getting really irritated with your siblings, and, you know, that I'm on you about it, and you don't like that, and I don't like it either. And I'd like to try to come up with a different way of handling this. So, to help me out here, I kind of need you to keep track of the times when you do get upset, because you're saying he's remorseful for it, so he's aware of it at least. I want you to ask him, I need you to keep track of those times that you get upset, but ask yourself the question, what is it that you need? Like, what is it that you feel like? How do you feel like your brothers and sisters are getting in the way of you doing something or getting something that's important to you then? What is that thing that you're trying to do? And let's talk about maybe some different ways that I can help you get that need met. Because if you just tell them don't do that, It gets frustrated, that effort, to his genuine attempt to not do that gets frustrated because the need is still there and he's got no way to meet it. But if you're able to say, look, help me understand what you're trying to accomplish by acting this way. Like, you could even ask him, you know, if you could get if you could imagine the ideal response you could get by, if you just imagine, I'm going to lash out at my brother and they're going to do this magically, even if he knows it's crazy to think that, just what would be the perfect response that he would imagine getting? That's going to point to the need that he's got. Then brainstorm with him ways to meet that need without him having to lose it. Because if he even understands that you're there to help him meet those needs in a more effective way, then he's going to be more likely to come to you and say, Mom, I'm just really frustrated with this and I need your help with X. Okay? You'll be helping him develop the vocabulary that he needs to express those needs more respectfully and directly, instead of just letting those needs pile up until he can't control himself anymore and he just lashes out. And that's a really important life skill that you'll be teaching him then. And he'll actually appreciate the correction, because you're not just telling him to pipe down and stuff it.
And you're not really even correcting him. You're helping him problem solve for something that's irritating him as well as irritating you and the whole family. So when you really treat him as this, you know, young man that he is, who has a good intention, and you help him to figure out how to get that need met in a way that's respectful to everyone else, he really will appreciate it. And you're opening the door for him coming to you to help get a lot of other issues in his life as he becomes a man solved, because he knows he can trust you to help him figure out the healthiest and the holiest way to meet that need still be respectful of others.
Sorry, you raise a really excellent point. The discipline with teens has to shift, because with littler kids, we can kind of get away with that sort of sloppy, hey, knock that off, okay? And they will, because their needs are easier to meet in other ways, and they're more easily distracted from those things. When you get to adolescence, if you keep up that hey, knock it off approach, then teens just feel unheard. And they get sullen and angry, and they lash out in passive-aggressive ways. But if you're able to do what we're talking about here, where you say, okay, look, that behavior is not okay, you can't do it, but I understand that you're trying to accomplish something. What is it? And then you help them meet that need in other, more positive, graceful ways. What you're really doing there is discipling your son into a healthy adulthood, a healthy adolescence, and a healthy adulthood, where he learns, when I have a need, I don't have to lash out or act inappropriately. I can just come to Mom and say, hey, look, this is what I need. How can you help me figure out what to do about that? And that's what changes discipline with teenagers and helps to create a more collaborative dynamic between you and the kid. And there might be people who are listening right now who think that's just nuts. But I'm telling you, both from personal experience and my professional work with clients, it will always work, because everybody wants to be heard and everybody wants to be helped to get their needs met. And if you can have that attitude toward your kid instead of, hey, pipe down, knock it off, it's going to change the entire household and really help your teens understand that you're not an adversary, that you're a partner with them.
Well, and it also lays down a great foundation of how we do problem solve that everyone can see. So after a few years of that, they'll start doing it. And I don't mean a million years, but just months of them seeing how this works and how everyone's more peaceful and in rapport with each other, they'll start problem solving in that way together more. Your work will become a lot lighter in this. So it's well worth the time and the investment.
Two resources for you. I'd like you to check out the teen chapter in Parenting with Grace, where we do walk through these kinds of strategies. Again, that's in Parenting with Grace, the Catholic Parent Guide to Raising Almost Perfect Kids. Check out the chapter on adolescence. You can also get some other great ideas in the book, How to Talk So Teens Will Listen and Listen So Teens Will Talk, by Adele Faber and Elaine Maislish. Claire, thank you so much for tuning in and giving us a call today. As Lisa said, you obviously are a very in-tuned mom. You got a great heart, and I know that these strategies will really work for you. If there's anything more we can do to support you, though, don't hesitate to reach out to us here on the show. 877-573-7825 is the number to call to talk about those people who are making you crazy. On our show today, titled, You're Making Me Crazy. If you are dealing with some people getting under your skin, some folks who always trigger either you to shut down and just stuff it, or lash out because you can't stuff it anymore, we are here to help. 877-573-7825. 7825. More to Life will continue right after the break.
More to Life is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 80% of the referral check to Ave Maria Radio and Students for Life. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org. On the next Cresta in the Afternoon.
There's another bioethical conundrum in China. A scientist there has implanted human genomes into the brains of monkeys, trying to improve cognitive functioning. We're going to talk it over with Father Tad Poholchik. We're also going to continue our look at Pope Benedict's letter on abuse and prepare ourselves to partake of the grace of Holy Week.
Cresta in the Afternoon from 4 to 6 on 990 Ave Maria Radio.
Every morning I get a prayer email from the high school I attended. As a communications evangelist, I'm always looking for those quotes, sayings, and words of wisdom as it relates to how we communicate as Christians. This one caught my attention. When I listen and speak, dear Lord, may I be steady and strong in goodness. As the scripture says, be quick to hear, but deliberate in answering. If you know what to say, answer your neighbor. Do not be called double-tongued and do not lay traps with your tongue. First, Lord, help me listen carefully. Then when I speak, may I be clear and honest. But when I have nothing to contribute, help me have the humility to hold my tongue. Come, aid us with the gifts of listening and speaking. We ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I've always struggled with holding my tongue and listening more. We all have things we need to work on. This is one of mine. This has been a Christ Center communication message. I'm Vanessa Denhagarmo, a communications evangelist.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back, and thanks for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I am Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we're talking today about those people who drive you crazy and get under your skin. It is possible to respond gracefully to those folks. We want to help you figure out how to do it in your circumstances. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Allison, who's listening to EWTN Radio on Sirius 130 in Florida.
Hey, Allison. Welcome to More to Life. How can we help you out?
Good morning, guys. I'm a mom of three, and I struggle with a relationship with my mother, who is in her 60s. And we've always had sort of a difficult relationship growing up, and through recent years, I've done some therapy, and I've been able to forgive and move on and be more gracious and understand a lot of her behaviors come from, like, past issues of her own, and been able to see how her life leading up to this point has made her react in different ways and helped me not to react to her own reactions that are a little difficult or strange. But lately, we've noticed that she's become more forgetful and just in kind of ways that aren't acceptable or socially normal. And a lot of let's just say, like, she'll say something in front of my children that is completely inappropriate. Or okay. She will forget something that we've given her instructions to do that isn't too terribly complicated. And whenever we point out something, we try to be gentle with it. We try to point out something. She perceives it as an attack and falls into a very victim kind of mindset or a victim role, which kind of triggers me because that was what was the issue to begin with during, you know, all growing up, is her falling into like a victim role. And of course, I'm doing something to hurt her. I'm the person I'm intentionally.
She's making you the parent, essentially. She's parentifying you.
I suppose, and I feel like...
No, there's no supposing about it. I mean, really, what's happening is she's melting down and making you put her back together again instead of being a consistent caregiver that's kind of helping you, is what I mean by that.
Yeah, and I feel like up to this point, I've done well. I've got a great support system here. I found I'm seeing a counselor on my own just to make sure, like, I've got myself squared away. But lately, okay. It's just been getting to the point where it's just a lot. And I don't want to lose all the positives of our relationship that we've forged over the last couple of years as I've been able to, like, establish myself as an adult. But at the same time, I feel like things are starting to slip backwards, and I don't really know what to do or how to help her. I don't know. I guess I don't really even know what I'm asking.
Okay, so let me ask you two questions here, Allison. First of all, I want you to tell me what her forgetfulness is saying to you. Are you concerned that she has some kind of onset of dementia? Are you worried about her actual brain health here, or is this that her behavior? You are. Okay, so that is a very different thing than she's just getting on your nerves.
Right. I'm worried about that, but like a lot of it seems to be exacerbating the little get on my nerve things that used to be an issue.
Of course, because if she's always been sort of passive and childlike and parentified you, and you've worked so hard to get in this place where you can deal with her and be your best adult self, and then she's feeling challenged, if you're indeed right that she's dealing with some oncoming challenges and defaulting to I'm a scared child, it's definitely going to trigger you and make you feel even more helpless, because if she's indeed unwell, you know that there's not a lot of progress you can make from there. But I think the first thing you have to do in this situation is be parentified enough to say, hey, Mom, you know, you just don't seem quite yourself. Why don't we go to have a doctor's appointment and talk about this? Because until you have a real evaluation of this, you don't know what you're dealing with. The other thing I'd like you to do is really talk to your therapist about this is what's happening. How do I handle this as it's beginning to escalate for me?
But the fact is, whether it is a medical problem or just her personality, these are two separate issues. Her behavior toward you and any medical issues have to be dealt with as separate things.
Yeah.
And you can still set boundaries with her, even if she is dealing with some health concerns, right? And so that's what I want to focus on. The first one being that you know what you need to do is say to her, you know, be open with her, like you said, being gentle about, hey, Mom, this isn't okay. And then letting her behavior tell you how close you can be to her and how much she can be around the kids. You know, you're saying you don't want to offend her, and I understand that. But, you know, in a healthy relationship, saying to somebody, hey, you know, that's not an appropriate thing to say around my kids, that's a hard thing to hear, but a healthy person will accept that.
Even if they bristle, you know, a little bit at first, they're going to come back with it. Okay, all right, I'm sorry, or I won't do it again, or something to say they've processed that and they care about you enough to process that in some way.
Because it's an appropriate boundary to set,
right?
And so if somebody is offended by that boundary, that doesn't mean you did something wrong. And my concern, when I'm hearing you talk, you're taking a lot of responsibility for your mom's emotions. That's why I said at the beginning that she's parentifying you, because she's kind of set you up here to feel guilty about setting appropriate boundaries and to expect healthy behavior from her, or even to say, Mom, if you can't be healthy, that's okay, but then I have to be around you less, or you can't be around the kids as much. That's your call to make, and you're afraid to make that call because of your history with your mom makes you the caregiver and makes you feel guilty just by asking reasonable things from her, okay? So now, if you find that as you're setting these boundaries, she's decompensating some more, you're seeing more of those signs of dementia, then yes, absolutely, you need to follow up and treat that as a separate issue and do at least what's suggesting, take her, you know, to the doctor or try to push for that, get a good evaluation. But on the front end, you know, you have absolutely every right to set these very appropriate boundaries with her and not really worry about what her reaction is, because you didn't cause that reaction, and it's not your job to fix that reaction. Your job is to maintain the order and peace in your household and maintain the safety of your kids. And any charitable boundary that you set in the process of doing those two things is absolutely appropriate, and you have nothing to feel guilty about, as long as you do it as gently as you can. If she reacts badly to that, that's on her. That's not you. And that's the piece that I'd like you to really work on with your therapist, that tendency to take responsibility for your mom's reactions to appropriate boundaries that you set. Because that's where that parentified child thing comes in, where you feel like you're more responsible for her crazy than she is for being a healthy person. right. We do talk more about this, and God help me, these people are driving me nuts, making peace with difficult people. I encourage you to check that out. But Allison, you know, your heart's in the right place, and I think you're doing a lot of good things. I think these suggestions that Lisa and I both have made here are going to help take you to the next step. Thanks so much for the call. That's all the time we've got for today's program. I want to thank you all for being with us and talking about those people who are driving you crazy. If you need more support in increasing the peace in your life, check out the resources we mentioned today on the program, including God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People, and learn more about the Pastoral Solutions Institute's telephone counseling practice at CatholicCounselors.com, where you can work with a professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, or personal life. Learn more about all of that at CatholicCounselors.com. And then remember, folks, there is so much more to life. Get out there and celebrate the life you were meant to live. God bless.
Listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.